So let's go ahead and pray. We'll begin the study today. Father in heaven, we thank you for Jesus, and we listen to you. Lord, you've given us your Son, and the life of your Son pleases you, and so we thank you that it pleased you to call us your sons and daughters, and to place Jesus in us by your Spirit, that we could have that same life, that the life of Jesus could be in us, and that we could glorify and honor you, Lord. So we need Jesus, and we come to you today and ask to be taught by your Spirit, and ask that you would give us an understanding, and that you would impart to us the knowledge of you, and that clearly we would hear from you today, that we would all go forth knowing exactly what you desire us to do. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So if you took a look at the church calendar and saw that today was a special study, meaning topical, and you know, many today we'll be talking about other things, but I believe it's best for me to share with you the things that the Holy Spirit has been speaking in the context of the Word of God. So again, reading ahead today would have been Revelation 3 and Psalm 37, those of you that are prepared for that. But one of the things that I really want to leave with today is that you would clearly know that we as a church have heard the Holy Spirit, and he has given us the works of Jesus to do. And that's very important. I roll back to this because we operated under that, again, the instruction to go forth and to share the gospel, and we carried that forth all the way through the end of September. And what marked the end of our outreach season, sharing the gospel going forth, I mean, many of you were partakers of the events we did sharing the gospel. We're very active doing the works of Jesus that we were called to do. West Fargo, Valley City, Jamestown, in Moorhead. Again, I just stir you up by way of remembrance that we've done these things that God has given us to do. And then we took this opportunity. And I'm going to roll back a bit here to on a Bible study that I really have entitled, Let Us Go On to Perfection. Let Us Go On to Perfection. And September 29th, again, these are my verses for Omaha. And I wouldn't share them with you except the way that they come to me, that I believe it's not just because of me, but they're shared to me as the pastor of the church. And that's why I take heed unto them in this context, to share them from here so that you can have these things that I believe the Spirit of God is saying to us, that you could clearly hear what the Spirit is saying to you. And if you're visiting today, God bless you. You might find that the Holy Spirit speaks to you on something that is in your personal life. But again, we're together in this on church. And so again, the church is all the believers everywhere. I'm not excluding you from that. But I'm just bringing this forth in such a way that we hear that this is our church. We would hear the Spirit of God. So September 29th, these are my verses for Omaha. Isaiah 47:4. As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. And when you get a verse like that, which I did, I simply add my interjection. Pay attention. When God says unto you that he's the Lord of hosts, he's the Redeemer, he's the Holy One of Israel, he has my attention. So again, another verse, Psalm Isaiah 45:11. Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his Maker. Ask me of things to come concerning my sons, concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. Now that's a specific reference to Cyrus, who was called before he was born by name. Isaiah has his name in prophecy. Before the man existed, it blows me away that we would miss this part, that we serve the living God in our day and age. Yeah, the Bible's not being written anymore, but God hasn't changed. And in writing that prophecy in the context, the way that he did, and he offers to Cyrus, called by name, before he existed or even knew God, he was called to fulfill the regathering of Israel, the sons of Israel. And there's an invitation in here to prayer. Ask me. And I come this way today that you would clearly hear, as I share with you, that this is what I believe the Spirit of God is calling us to. He's calling us to pray and ask of him to fulfill the works that he's called us to do. So in my interaction in prayer, again, I'll just give you a little insight into that. I too believe that you have called me to fulfill your work in North Dakota concerning your sons by adoption in your son, Jesus Christ. Again, so that's me receiving that firsthand, and now I'm clearly going to apply it for us. This is the work of God's hands for us. Ephesians describes that God prepares the works beforehand that we would walk in them. We're told to be zealous to maintain these good works. I am not talking about working for salvation in any way, shape, or form. I am talking to those who are saved to go forth and do the works. And in that context, the work of God's hands, and then again, I'm going to roll back, the Lord God, right? The maker, the living God. So I'll continue into my praying. I ask of you concerning things to come. Right? He says, ask me of things to come, so I ask God concerning things to come. And here's my first clear call for us. We are called to pray for the salvation. Again, I say start in your city where you live, for Fargo. Again, Moorhead, West Fargo, Horace, Harwood. Again, what is there's other little towns tucked in there too somewhere. Oh, Dilworth can be saved too, right? No, but here's my heart's desire that you would hear this. Again, asking God concerning things to come, those to be saved in Fargo, those that have darkness and are called to the light. And I simply say, all the people that moved to Fargo to be saved. Population has doubled since I arrived here in 1988. Okay? The population has doubled in that time period. Does that mean we have twice as many people saved? Okay. Now, in this, that you would clearly hear, our first call is to pray, and it's to pray for the salvation of those that have come here. We have people from nations. My wife and I walk many times in the mall, and we take that second or that later walk in the day, and we walk around like this. We have people from every part of the world here. And my simple desire, again, as I look at this, and that means that those that have moved here to Fargo, they've moved here to be saved. Even asking in that power of God, and this is a prayer to get that door opened up, the invite for the mosque, which is next door or kitty corner, asking for that open door invitation that they reach out to us to share with them all about the Son of God. Now, many would say, impossible. I say that too, but with God, all things are possible. So if you believe him and you believe that in Jesus, the works that are to be done are his works and that he is the God of the impossible, I simply invite all of us. And if you clearly hear one thing today, if you come to church here, this is your church, hear the clear call to pray for the salvation of this city. And again, specific people groups, maybe you'll be drawn unto a specific group of people. But this is the clear call. This is the clear call, the gospel power unto salvation for all of North Dakota. So I start with Fargo, and then I move that on to all of North Dakota, each city. So this is me on my way to Omaha, reviving that call and what I know I've heard and what the Spirit has said to me and what he's given to us. And it's not just about me, because I need six more men, right, together with their wives to be sent out and to be pastors in the six cities of North Dakota, which I believe we still will be planting churches. So maybe today you begin, and then maybe that's the clear sound to you that between you and God, what you're working out, would I be one of those men? And again, together, I'm going to send out married couples. I'm not going to send a man out who's unmarried unless he's got the spiritual gift. That would have to be tested and proven. And I simply say this, our place of praying for the gospel power unto salvation for all of North Dakota, each city, each church that we could plant. I ask for the pastors called and filled with faith to establish your work of hands once again in power, in the Word, in the Spirit, in the fullness of God. September 29th. So we finished up outreach. We got onto the discipleship going through 1 Timothy, and I'm here now to bring back. And I believe, and I'm asking for, and so if you're involved with that, then I'm asking you to pray for the six pastors and their wives that will be sent out to the respective cities that God is calling them. Now, clearly, we've been called to pray. So when I just take that, ask me of things to come concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. What an amazing verse Isaiah 45:11 is. So clearly, for me, I hear the call. So one more verse that goes with that. Jeremiah 33:2-3. So I have three verses as we headed to the conference to receive what God has. And it says, thus says the Lord, the maker thereof that formed it. Jeremiah 33:2. Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it. To establish it, the Lord is his name. I can't ignore God. I won't ignore God. I'm simply saying, when the Spirit of God speaks to you, and you know God spoke to you, and you heard from the Spirit of God, that this is where this Bible study originates. This isn't new to us. Again, this goes all the way back to what originated with this phrase, hear the Spirit, coming out of the study of Revelation 3, Church of Sardis, where God got our attention in 2013, over describing that, and now it just continues in this, when you hear from the Spirit of God. So I need six men to hear from the Spirit of God, but I need an entire church to hear what? We're in this, we believe it's going to happen, and that God has called us to pray, and we will pray for this and continue in it, because he's the maker. He formed it. He'll establish it. The Lord is his name. And then the invite, once again, Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me. We're called to pray. What if we're the ones who pray and we never see them sent out because the time doesn't happen in our day, but then God fulfills that because those prayers are answered. Do you believe in the power of prayer? I believe God hears. So the invite is, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. So I call unto you, again, that's me talking to God. I call unto God, I call unto the Lord God to fulfill the vision you gave me for North Dakota to be saved. Saving Fargo in the midst of all of our wickedness and promotion of evil, will you turn the evil away? Bring salvation and deliverance from the iniquity that abounds. I call upon you to save. I don't like this prayer because I don't like the truth of it, but I do like this prayer because it's the depth of the reality. Lord, seemingly nothing much happens in the spiritual realm to save. It seems hard. It seems dead. I know you are always at work even when I can't see it. And then the Lord revealed to me that Jeremiah was in prison when God gave him that call to pray. I'll lay this out. And I pray this is very clear for you. That you would hear the Spirit of God in your personal life. You know, and I think of, young men that are much more advantageous to hear the call from a young age. You think of the six men that would hear that call. I'll take an old guy, too, at this point. Right? If he hears the call. What's old? Well, it's up to you to decide. But I believe that God wants us to fill this. So the very next day, September 30th, and this arose out of being at the conference, and this is what the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and it just comes out in this phrase, a torrent, not a trickle. Right, concerning the rivers of living water, again, the way our Lord said to this, describing how the Holy Spirit would be flowing forth from our belly as a torrent or a river, a mighty river. Again, power of the Holy Spirit, not just a trickle, but a torrent. And that's what I brought back. And again, just describing that preparation, hearing from God, prayers, and asking for the torrent, not a trickle. That's part of returning to the first love for me is the overflowing fullness, the power of the Holy Spirit going forth from our lives. Not the Holy Spirit so we can have all these, you know, fluffy experiences and tingly moments when we're together, but the real power of the Spirit to flow forth from our lives, that the power of God for people to be saved. and for wickedness to be turned back, and the reality of the power of Jesus and going forth in the power of the Spirit in which he walked. And again, applying that together, the very next, again, I got through Sunday, so this would be Monday morning, October 2nd, I believe, if I have the days right. And I come to Psalm 105:41, describing where he opened the rock. It's a reference of the time frame when Moses struck the rock and water gushed out. And that's my very next day as I come through that. And I just simply, the emphasis is the gush, torrent. And I lay this forth. We're not going to see anything happen, get anything done. We're not going to plant the six churches unless what? Unless it pleases God to do it that way, and that he would pour out his spirit and power upon all of us, and that power of the river of water flowing forth, it says it ran in the dry places like a river. And so on Monday morning, it's what I asked for on Friday night. I come back to Monday morning, a torrent, not a trickle, gush. It ran into the dry places. This is God's work. Now, I got to keep moving here. So, let's pick up Revelation 3. Find your way there. And let's go there first. And I got to talk to you about that. Let's see. There we go. So, one of the things I want to leave you with today is that you would clearly know what you are to do. You might already have it. You might simply between you and God by the Holy Spirit say, I need to pray. And maybe you make it your business to pray for one of those six pastors. Or maybe you make it your calling between you and God to say, I will pray for the salvation of the Muslims, or I'll pray for the salvation of the Hindus. We have a Hindu temple in Fargo Moorhead. We have two mosques, right? Three mosques. So there's a lot of work of salvation to happen. Anybody think that the wickedness of paganism is on the rise in Fargo Moorhead? Okay? Now again, I just lay this out. So Revelation 3, under the angel of the church in Sardis, this means a lot to us. From 2013, when the Lord said to me, you're Sardis. Brought that back, shared it with the church. Again, you listened. I listened. We listened. We've heard the Spirit. We believed. We turned. We don't want to be a dead church. We want to be alive. The instructions. What Jesus, our Lord, says to the church of Sardis, he said to us, I know thy works. Right there in the middle of verse 1, I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Again, sharp words, sword proceeding. Again, the vision of Jesus in Revelation, active amongst his church, holding his church, again, speaking to his church, calling his church to repent, and he says, I know thy works. The word there for know is not the experiential gnosko. Again, as we study through the scriptures, I know this because I've experienced it. This is that knowing it because he sees. This has to do with his eyes of fire. This has to him. He knows what's in your heart because he sees right through it. Everything is bare and naked and open before the eyes of him to whom we have to do. Right. That's the very next verse after the sharp and powerful living word of God, Hebrews 4:12. That's 4:13. His eyes. He says to the church, I know thy works. I see and I know. They're dead works. And we responded. Again, I draw your attention unto that call to repentance. He says, remember. So the first call is to remember. Verse 2, he says, be watchful, strengthen the things which remain, which are ready to die. But this phrase, I have not found thy works perfect before God. I have not found thy works mature, complete, or full. Now here I am. Now stating some 10 years later, again, you track with me what this means and what I'm sharing with all of us to hear the Spirit, and I lay it forth in this way. He would have said to us 10 years ago, I have not found thy works perfect before God. And I'm here to describe unto you today, let us go on to perfection, maturity. Don't hear, oh, perfect, nothing's wrong. You find things wrong all the time. Because why? Because, well, if you think you found the perfect church, don't join it. Because then you'll wreck it. Because it's us. We believe in the power of God and the grace of God, and it's to walk in the light. And as I share this in this context about maturing and this let us go on to perfection. And the first call was to remember, hold fast, and repent. Now, Revelation 3, look at the church of Philadelphia. I know thy works, verse 8, 3:8. I know thy works. See, Jesus sees and knows all that his church is doing. Now, this was given to me November 6th, again, gift of the Spirit, about the church of Philadelphia. Verse 8, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. No man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength. Again, little dunamis, power of the Holy Spirit. Don't think of it as, oh, just a little. We need dunamis. Even a little power of the Holy Spirit goes much farther than all the philosophies, planning theories, church growth programs, whatever are employed to try to bring about the work of God, that they all fail. I know thy works. Behold, I've set before thee an open door. No man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, hast kept my word and not denied my name. Now consider the last month where we've taken that clear, sharp word of God to cut to our hearts and then discern the thoughts and intents. I'm just calling us as a church to put away all the things that are not the word of God, that we might have the word of God. A call to put away. And I'm just laying this forth. This Church of Philadelphia, as much as we say, I want to be the Church of Philadelphia, we can't be what we're not, nor can we say what the Spirit is not saying. All we can do is what? We can listen to what the Spirit is saying. And I'm laying this before us in this way, and again, very clearly, we are called to be the Church of Philadelphia, to progress from being dead to being alive, yes, but even more, we are praying and we're called to pray to get that door open for the gospel to bring salvation. Clearly, again, if I could sound it forth any clearer, I would. We're to pray for the salvation of this city. Specific open door that goes with that invite. Just, again, it's going to require a miracle. Gifts of miracles, gifts of faith, to have the leaders of the mosque, Mukhtar and Muhammad, stopped in and visit on one of our praying Fridays. They know how to get here. I mean, it's not a trouble for God to work there to come here and say, will you tell us about the Son of God? You know, and I'm laying this forth, and I'm just saying, November 6th in the Spirit, we're the Church of Philadelphia. Meaning formerly Sardis, and I'm just laying it forth clear in this way. God has set before us an open door. Now, when God opens a door, no man can shut it. How long is that door open? I don't know. When will it come? I don't know. But this is my prayer of faith, and these are the works of faith of Jesus, the greater works. He says to ask, to call unto me, and that's what we're doing. Okay. Laodicea, let's talk that too a little bit while we're here in 3:15. I know thy works, that neither thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, increased with goods, have need of nothing, knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And then the counsel to buy gold refined in the fire. Listen up, that's the majority of the church now. Lukewarm. Lukewarm. I mean, I'm not going to be lukewarm. We'll be polarized. We'll be fanatical. I mean, you do understand that's all that is. Hot is hot and cold is cold. Right? That's that. That means that some are going to come and say, wasn't there a nursery rhyme? Isn't that what they call them? Goldilocks and the Three Bears. This one's too big. This one's too small. This one's just right. This one's too hot. This one's too cold. This one's just right. Listen, this is not the time to be just right in this world. To be lukewarm so people want to come in. The whole seeker-sensitive model is designed to make lukewarm. Take saved and unsaved, bring them together and say, oh, isn't this great? That's by definition lukewarm. We must be hot where we're to be hot. And we must be cold where we are to be cold. We're called to it. Jesus says to all three churches, I know thy works. So when we say, let us go on to perfection, this is to give us a view that from today forward, you are clearly involved with the works that God has called us to do. The greater works, John 14:12. The greater works that he said we would do. Why? Because we're great? No. Because he went to the Father. Why do we need the Holy Spirit the way that we do, and why are we praying and talking the way that I'm talking? I guess I'm the one doing the talking. Because Jesus went to heaven, and he said, I will give the Holy Spirit. The church without Jesus, well, we discover that Laodicean church, Jesus is on the outside doing this. See, how is the church, how is Jesus in his church? Well, by his Spirit. Okay, now back to my notes, and I'll pick up here where I can. So I've taken you through, and I'm bringing forth to October 15th. And we as a church, again, morning prayer, Sunday morning prayer. If you haven't come to Sunday morning prayer at 9 a.m., get here. It's a great opportunity to pray for all those things. And if you're here and not praying, start praying. Again, we simply need to hear this and understand. We were called to draw near, again, by way of prophecy, to hear the Spirit, the call to draw near. It says, many draw near with their mouth, but their heart is far from me. And I'm just calling us as church, I'm calling us out, genuine. No more lip service. No more, I'm going to do that someday. Oh, that's a great idea. I want to be a part of that. Now I'm calling us to what? To Jesus, our Lord. He says, come to me. He says, come if you need rest. Come if you thirst. This is laid out in such a way, many have sought the things of this world to find rest for your soul, but all it brought was turmoil. So Jesus invites us who are in turmoil to come to him and find rest for our souls. Trust me, the works that he's called us to do will not happen by us until we first do what? Come to him and receive all that he is for us. Personally, as a church, everything. Seeking in the world to be satisfied, again, Jesus, by way of prophecy, if you hear the Spirit very clearly, all I want you to do is come. I will take care of the rest and the thirst. You need not search anymore, and the word is just come. Come to Jesus. Now, how do I get six men to come to Jesus and have their lives transformed by the power of the living word of God together with their wives, and they hear the call and they go out to fulfill? Well, it begins by coming. See, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. 1 Peter 5:7. Overflow, John 7:37-39. Made righteous, Romans 5:19. And eternal living, Romans 6:4. If you need that. I got it. And you put that, it's the acronym for come. The next week, October 23rd, continuing on hearing the Spirit. All who enter into my gates, into my house, let them bring forth the praise of the Lord. That Sunday morning in prayer, God called us to praise and worship. Let them be filled to all fullness of joy and love. What are we going to be spending that week? Instead of fasting and praying, we're going to answer that call to come forth in joy and love. That's what we're doing. If any enter who are not like-minded, it will be known unto you, and let all change their hearts to come unto me and offer a sacrifice of praise. I desire a body that gives all to me, not keeping anything back for themselves. If you do, it will be made known by the power of my Holy Spirit. Again, I reference there Acts 5:1-2, Ananias and Sapphira, who held back. That's the reference. So God is calling us. Maybe clearly now as this is sounding forth in your life and you're hearing this very clearly, and the Holy Spirit is saying to you, your life is not your own, and you're no longer to hold back for yourself. Let my word go forth to pierce and purify your hearts. Receive my word, receive comfort. Receive grace. Receive patience. And then listen to this phrase. Let patience have its perfect work in you. And this is where we're at. When we say go on to perfection, God will use trials. So you count it joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith worketh patience. Let patience have its perfect work. Give worship. Give praise. Give me your hearts. And then the last phrase is all of it. November 26th. Come unto me and find rest. Lay down your burdens. Pick up my cross. And now we're on to where we need to get on to. When we say go on to perfection, here's how. Come unto me and find rest. Not me, that's capital M, that's Jesus. Come unto Jesus and find rest. Lay down your burdens and pick up my cross. It is easy and light. Do you believe that? The Sunday before, I stood up right before communion and again in the Spirit just prayed, Lord, cast out the scoffers. Cast out the scoffers. And I'm serious about this. Lay down your burdens, pick up my cross. It is easy and light. Walk in the way with me. If any of you turn to the right hand or to the left, I'll correct you and turn you back. And I just interject there, thank you, Lord. Right? Thank you. If we turn to the right or to the left, what will he do? He'll turn us back. If you refuse, I will let you go your own way until you come to the end of yourself. The best place for you to be is in my will. Do you know my will for you? It is found in my word. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands with wrath, without wrath and doubting. 1 Timothy 2:8. I desire a group of men, I emphasize this here, I desire a group of men and women and children that have chosen to follow me, to walk in my ways, to show forth my righteousness. And then Genesis 17:1, a key verse here. And when Abraham was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. And perfect means entire, without blemish, complete, full. You are not perfect, entire, or complete without my cross. So when I describe unto us clearly, let us go on to perfection personally and together as a church, the clear call is going forth to follow Jesus in the way that he has given commandment. He says, if any man desire to come after me, let him deny himself. Listen up. We have a Laodicean church in the midst of a world that is facing perilous times because of men are lovers of themselves. We're either going to go the way of the world and be conformed unto that and be Laodicean, or we're going to be what? We're going to be his church, and we're going to be an irritant to the world. Okay? So the way to being perfect, to go on to perfection, let me say that. The way to do that is to carry the cross. So the phrase, walk before God and be perfect. So the Holy Spirit gave this clear phrase that came out of Matthew 16, which if you ever walk in here and you come into the entryway and you see a banner up there, it says that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. It says, upon this rock I will build my church. That's what Peter declared, who Jesus is. And to build, Jesus is the rock. He's the Christ, the Son of the living God. He gave us that. And Jesus will build his church. And this is why I'm back to where I'm back, because last week, this is where I'm at. Jesus is going, our Lord saying to me, I will build my church. So let us go on to perfection. He gave out of, what is that? I think it's Proverb 9. What's 9:1 say? Where's Josiah? Is he in here? Don't you? This is the one you shared for years. What's 9:1 say? Wisdom has built her house. Wisdom has built her house. Keep going.
She sent out her maidens. She cries out from the highest place of the city. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. As for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, come eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Forsake foolishness and live.
Yeah, that's good. Yep. So did it say that she has hewn out her seven pillars? The seven pillars that God gave us. He says, I will build my church, and he simply says, make sure these are in place. Be a house of prayer. Worship God in holiness. Study the Word of God. The Holy Spirit in fullness. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Making disciples to follow Jesus. And then number seven, which again, I am listening. Again, the Spirit is clearly on to this one. Let us go on to perfection, equipping the saints. So not only am I calling us to come to this point in time to have the clear call of God upon our lives, as I'm asking for six men, right, together with their wives to hear the call, I'm calling us to hear the clear call to pray that we could go on and perfect this work that God has given us to do. And equipping the saints for the work of ministry. Again, if you need scripture, you take up Ephesians 4, 11, and 12. That's a part of that. Here's what I'm hearing from the Spirit now. Okay? This last pillar is not what it ought to be. So if we're thinking that open door, and then let us go on to perfection, and these works that God's prepared beforehand, that we walk in them, we're at this place to be mature, right? To go on to completion, to fullness, to fulfill. That's the call. And again, it says, I've now been actively going around, hey, are you called to be a deacon? Are you called to do this? What about this in your life? Now's the time to perfect the works that God has given you to do. All of us are called into the ministry. All of us are given spiritual gifts. All of us are a part of one body. All of us are to be doing these things together. And I'm laying it forth in this way, the equipping. God doesn't call the equipped. What does he do? He equips the called. So we're being called to perfect. I expect that as each one of those six answer, they need to be what? Equipped. I don't expect anybody to have it already. But this is where we're at. If we pray not, if we ask not, we receive not. I want to stand before God and say, we heard you. We prayed, you gave. And these works that you gave us to do, we did them by the grace of God. And look, Lord, your fruit, that's yours. So let us go on to perfection. Now I remind you, dead church, dead works. Sardis, I know thy works. You have a name that's alive, but they're dead. What do dead works produce? No fruit. Dead tree, no fruit. Dead root, no fruit. You can take that as a dead fruit, no root. No. Dead root, no fruit. Or is it root? Fruit. I'll just lay it out. I want to be fruitful. When I stand before God, right? When I stand before God and give an account, I'm not going to be one of those, look, Lord, everything you gave me, I buried it in the ground, and here it's yours, back to you again. I'm not going to accuse God of wrongdoing. He's been very clear with all of us. And I lay this forth in such a way, dead root, no fruit. I have not found thy works perfect before God. This for me, that sharp word of God to Sardis is enough to turn me back, together with what I believe God's put before us, describing a church, Philadelphia, I know thy works. I have set before thee an open door. What do you do with an open door? You go through it. What did Paul say? With understanding, he says what? A great and effective door, a megas door, has opened unto me for ministry. And you know his next phrase? And there are many adversaries. I know full well the cost of an open door is what? Incredible opposition. Why do I need a church praying? To take up the armor, right, 6:18, in warfare, to do what? To get us through the open door to the other side, to be fruitful, that the power of the Spirit would go forth as a torrent and not a trickle. December 18th. Not too long ago, the week before Christmas, Monday morning after Sunday, God making very clear as he called us to submission. Here's the word from this prophecy from Sunday morning prayer. Do you have a right mind and a steadfast heart? You have one held onto me and another hand upon the world. You need to let go of the world and hold on to me with both hands. Remember that Bible study, use both hands? Right? You need to hold on to me with both hands, the sword of the Spirit in one hand, the shield of faith in the other. If you put either of these down to hold on to the world, you are in danger of the attack of the enemy overtaking you, because you have not quit yourselves as men. It's a 1 Corinthians 16:13 reference. You have not quit yourselves as men. Do you know how to wield my sword? Do you know how to stand firm in faith? Come unto me and I will teach you. I will give you a grip upon my word and faith as I grip your heart. Now what I share with you next should not be a surprise if you understand what the Lord is saying to us. Out of that day, as I pray to take up the armor, faith, sword, gripped by the word and gripped by the word, this is my life. It's what I've said to you. This is what I put before you. It's like I describe unto you, my wife and I, God's word gripped us. God's word cut to our, transformed our lives. It was the word of God by the Spirit of God. And here we exist today, and I'm laying it forth for all of us to say what? It's the word of God. Living and powerful word of God cut to my heart. How do I hear the Spirit as the word cuts to my heart and says, you know, one of those six men and together with their wives is like, do you hear him and say, well, then just tell him it's me, right? You start working that out with God. That's that. That's what happened to me. The word of God cut to my heart. Again, that morning, 1 Kings 8:56, blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people, Israel, according to all that he promised. There has not failed one word of all of his good promise. 1 Kings 8:56. There has not one word failed of all his good promise. Look at your lives. Has God failed? Oh, we fail, right? And then we're surprised about our failures, and God says, I knew you would. Prepared you for that too, right? This is reality. Not one word of his good promise has failed, which he promised through his servant Moses. How much more when he gives promise through his son. So here's my prayer. Resting in you, Lord Jesus. We've come to you. The call was to come, take up the yoke. The call is submission. The call is humility. The call is not the world, but Jesus. The call is come to Jesus, take up his yoke. Truly it's easy and light. And then this phrase, entered your rest, ceased from our works, for the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. You remember that study? Axe or the sword. Either the word is going to cut to our hearts or we're going to live our entire Christian lives only to experience the end of them, that they're fruitless and all of our works go nothing. Go to nothing. I guess I can talk English. So here's the call. But before we get to that, go to Hebrews 4. I talk about it. And I had people stand up 2 weeks in a row who had it memorized, and there wasn't enough of you standing up. Either you didn't memorize it or you're shy. Either case, it's a bad state for us. Shyness is sin, right? Work that out in your kids from a young age. Plain and simple, shyness is sin. It always is. I'll stand upon that. If you don't like it, well, check it out, see if I'm telling you the truth or not. But shyness is sin. Mental health professionals will coddle sin or ignore sin, call it something else. I'm just saying, sharp word of God. Hebrews 4, 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest has also ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter that rest. What am I calling us to? I'm calling us to rest. Get your hand off the world, get your hand on the Word. Get your hand off the world, get it on the shield of faith. And that's, let us labor to enter that rest. Put off your life, right? Deny yourself, take up the cross. The world will hate you if you're well-liked by the world as a Christian. What do you know? You're worldly. You're one of them. You should actually not get along with everybody. I'm going to demonstrate this here in just a bit. A clear call. Let us labor, therefore, to enter that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. What unbelief? Of Israel. They would not enter in, could not enter in, did not enter in. Why? They didn't believe the promise of God. God says, get up and go into the land. Open door to go into the promised land. And what did they say? We will not go up. We're afraid we're going to die. God has not given us a spirit of fear. God has given us a spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. The world is running after what? Something else. Spirit of fear is fueling all that. We've been called to courage. We've been called to this. And in taking up that prayer and armor, I got a little bit more from the 18th. A very important verse for me. Ezekiel 37:3. Son of man, can these bones live? This goes all the way back to Sardis for me. Can Calvary Chapel Fargo live? Can this church have the living works by the living Word of God and the living power of the Holy Spirit? Can these bones live? Ezekiel's answer was, O Lord God, you know. And then God says, prophesy. So I'm just going to prophesy to us. We're alive. No longer Sardis. God has put an open door before us. God is going to do these works through our lives. God is going to give the Spirit as a torrent, not a trickle. So if you're showing up here and God said to come here, I know why. He's going to work this out for you. This is your church and you know it's your church and I'm your pastor and you're listening. Like, I know why. Because God got a hold of us. We hear the Spirit of God. The Word of God for us is, as it is, in power, it is the Word of God. Sharp, powerful, the Spirit. God is that way. So if we hear what the Spirit says today, and it's this, to pray and have the counsel of the Holy Spirit, a course and a plan for the future. I am praying for 6 pastors to be sent out. Okay, I'm very clear about this. And then I'll bring up another prophecy from December 17th. You have a right mind and a steadfast heart. You have one hand held on to me and the other hand upon the world. You need to let go of the world and hold on to me with both hands. And if you put either of these down to hold on to the world, you're in danger of the attack of the enemy overtaking you. Because you have not quit yourselves as men. Yes, I know I'm repeating this. I don't have Alzheimer's. Do you know how to wield my sword? Okay. Now, what are we called to? Find your way to Psalm 37. Here's where we're at. Here's what the Spirit is saying to us. And very clearly, I'll just lay it out in this way. Our Lord Jesus has 2 works. Salvation and judgment. Are any of the wicked going to get off free, so to speak? Is there any plea bargaining with God? There's mercy with God. Mercy says what? I am guilty. God be merciful unto me, a sinner. That's how we get to the cross. That's how we get saved, right? That's the mercy. That's the conviction of the Holy Spirit. As we share the gospel, we must tell the truth about sin, death, and hell. Our part is to share the gospel. And I need six men who the Word of God grips them and they hold that sword of the Spirit, shield of faith. And we have six more cities to get this going in. Psalm 37:1, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. We are being called not to be angry over the evil and wickedness and workers of iniquity that seem to flourish. Verse 2 says, they shall soon be cut down like grass and wither as a green herb. This is not the time for Christian anger. Fret not thyself. It's a word of hot displeasure. Listen up. As you read the news, don't get angry about it. Serious. I'm as dead serious as that can be, or alive serious as that can be. We're not to be fretting because of evil. Guess what the Bible revealed? Book of Revelation. Did you read the end? How about Matthew 24? Did you read what's coming? Wars and rumors of wars. What do we have? Wars and rumors of war. Men lovers of themselves. What do we have? We have 2 Timothy happening before our eyes. We have men being lovers of themselves, boasters, proud, arrogant, headstrong, haughty. You know, again, all those, it's all going on. What do we do? Well, first thing is, fret not thyself. What will happen? What's their end? They will soon be cut down like grass and wither as a green herb. Peter describes that over the difference between being saved and unsaved. There are only two type of people in the world. Saved, unsaved. That's it. That's it. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. That's a promise to us. You do not need to be afraid of the future. You do not need to be afraid of famine. Now, here's my prayers. I'm praying for God to make things worse here so people get saved. If things continue better and things keep going along fine, what's going to happen? No need for God. So I'm calling us to pray, and I'm asking God to what? Well, like Elijah, that it would not rain for 3.5 years. I'm asking for a church that will be like Elijah and will do what? Pray that things get worse. Is that startling to you? Normally, what are we praying? God, I just want it to be better. Will you be brave enough to join these prayers with me and say, Lord, wreck things around here so people get saved? Wreck their personal lives. Wreck their livelihood. Right? Wreck the economy. I'm pretty sure I won't be elected president, mayor, governor. I don't think I'll get elected to any office. Then, are you with me? Lord, we want people saved more than just to have nice, happy, good lives. You know, when people can't afford to eat, what are they going to do? I'm serious about this. What are we going to do? We're going to trust in the Lord and do good, so thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. There's a promise to the believer. And I'm not sensationalizing with the Holy Spirit. I am not a cessationist, I am not a sensationalist, but I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. The real, genuine. Okay? I'm serious about this. Again, as I share this with you. Verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give the desires of thine heart. Is Jesus everything for you? Make him your desire. Make that personal relationship with him more than everything else. In fact, the words of our Lord are this, more than your own life. Yes, if you don't hate your own life. You know one of the things in this self-love world, what takes more people out? Self. More than anything else. I want what I want. So you will never pray the prayers, wreck everything, God, that people can be saved because you're thinking about what? What about me? I'm simply calling us to it. So here's our call. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Open door needs six more men. Cities of North Dakota, there's this work, again, power of God, torrent, not a trickle, everything I'm describing today. I pray that the word comes to you personally so clearly that you say, I know what we're doing in church and I know what I'm doing personally. I'm delighting myself also in the Lord. I'm committing my way unto the Lord. I'm trusting in Him. He shall bring it to pass. Listen, I promise you, you are not going to go hungry. As you pray the prayers of trouble to come so that people get saved, you will not go hungry. I take God at His word. What do you do with Elijah when Elijah prayed the prayers of no rain that resulted in famine? Drank water from the brook Cherith, right? Fed by a raven until that dried up, and then he's over in another country, a widow of Zarephath, supernatural flour and oil. That's not a sensational story of the Bible. That happened. Now, as I describe this, more instruction, and this is 37:7. As crazy as you might think, I'm stirring you up that you got to go out and do something. I'm actually stirring you up to rest. Cease from your own works. Take up the cross. It's time to be done working for your own kingdom. It's time to be done doing your own works. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. What was the promise to that church of Philadelphia? Anybody know it from the top of their heart? What was the promise to the church of Philadelphia? He says, I will keep you from the hour of testing, tribulation, trial that's going to try the whole earth. They're promised what? They're promised the rapture. An amazing thing. Kept from that. Why? Because they kept His word. I'm laying this out. Rest in the Lord, wait patiently for Him. What kind of word was it? They kept His word of patience. If it takes 5 years to have those six men, you know what I'm going to be doing? Waiting for it. Praying for it. I've already been going at this 25 years. Right? Following Jesus. I'm just laying it out. Rest in the Lord, wait patiently for Him. What'd you hear today from the Holy Spirit? I am to rest for the Lord and wait patiently for Him. On two lines. Waiting for His salvation. We cannot produce God's salvation. It's His work. We can preach the gospel. We can be faithful. We can pray. We can ask for the Holy Spirit. We can go and do all those things He shows us to do. And guess what? It's still His work. Why, when they put the net on the other side of the boat, the Jesus boat, as we pronounce it in the Midwest, why, when they put the net on the other side, did they bring in all those fish? Because it pleased God to do it that way. This is not we command God to go and do this. As I'm just laying this out in such a way, if it pleases God to do this, He's going to do it. So what am I? I'm resting in the Lord for His work of salvation. Now the second one, rest in the Lord, wait patiently for Him. It's a word of patience. God has declared in His word that He will judge the wicked and they will experience and they will burn alive forever in hell. The second death, lake of fire, Gehenna, all that to describe. That's their end. You do not need to be concerned whether they have a high place in government or they're the wicked and evil down the block from you living in the apartment doing all their wickedness and evil. You don't need to fret and get angry over any of that, even if it's published on the news. Rest in the Lord, wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way. He might even become president of the United States of the world. Isn't the Antichrist coming? Now you, on track with me. Rest in the Lord, wait patiently for Him. Can you do anything on the work of salvation? Right? That's His work. But we can work the works of God, right? We can do the greater works. How? Because He went to the Father. And how do we bring those works to us? Through prayer. Ask, He says. Rest in the Lord, wait patiently for Him. This is our call, my brothers and sisters. Fret not thyself. Do not get angry or upset or hot, displeasure. Do not fret thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. You know what I know? The wicked are going to do what? Wickedness. All the shootings, what do you know? That's wickedness. There's going to be more of them, right? And then the governments of this world are going to try to take the guns out of our hands to protect ourselves from wickedness. That's wickedness too. Expect it. So who really is your protector? Right? God is our protector. Okay, track him with me. Rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Why? Because the second work, God's judgment's coming. God will render to every man according to his works. See why we as a church want to make sure that our works are what? Fruitful, lasting, eternal, in the greater works that he called us to do. What's going to happen to the evil and the wicked? This is Jesus' second work. 1911, Revelation describes Jesus coming back, riding on a white horse, and he has what proceeding forth from his mouth? The sword, the word of God. With that, you know this about your Lord, with that he judges and makes war. So when we're told in Romans 12 that we're not to have vengeance, but our Lord says to us, vengeance is mine, we're called not to be angry, filled with wrath, or fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Why? God will take care of it. Evildoers shall be cut off. Those that wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth. We have 1,000 years. You do realize that. We have 1,000 years. You think inheritance now. You're just hoping. If you're living for this world and just hoping to pass your house, your car, your wealth, your children and grandchildren, that's such a small view. How about giving them the riches of inheritance in the saints by leading them to Jesus and giving them a life? A life laid down, the cross, the power, the truth. So let me recap this for you today. We're called to rest. Now, does that mean you won't get tired? Well, Paul described his life, crucified with Christ, no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, the one who loved me, gave himself for me. He describes laboring, but not I, but Christ in me, and the laboring that he did, he says, by the grace of God. I'm simply laying this out. We're called to rest and wait patiently for him. What are his two works? Work of salvation. So prepare, equip, pray, call for it. Prepare yourself. Answer the call, right? That place of like this is God's active working to call and equip. And in the words of that last pillar, let us go on to perfection. A praying church, a spirit-filled church, right? A Word of God church, a Bible church. That's all. Why would we only want part? I want all. A church that disciples believers. So any of the children going to get saved today in children's ministry? You know, you think about these prayers. This is what happens in this church. We share the gospel and people get saved. Our children, as they come to that conviction, they hear the gospel and they get saved. I lay this out in such a way for us. We're called to have this power of the Spirit, sword, again, Word of God, and go forth. So now I speak to you all so you can clearly hear this. Are you one of the six? Every one of you, again, men, women, again, husbands and wives together, are you one of the six? That's you got to hear. That doesn't come from me. But guess what, church? Do you hear the clear call for us? We are called to pray. We are called to pray. Can you bring down the greater works? Well, our Lord said that he goes to be with God, and because he went to be with the Father, he says, greater works you will do. And he calls us to pray. So, Father in heaven, here we are, resting in you, waiting patiently for you to move, to act. We call upon you to save. We call upon you to judge the evil and wickedness. Lord, we are fed up. We are fed up with the moving away. We're fed up with all the sexual sin. We're fed up. But Lord, you call us not to get angry, and you call us not to have wrath, that those are yours. We read in your word how you tread the winepress of the wrath of Almighty God alone. We're your church, and we're called to preach the gospel. Lord, separate us from this world. Give us faith in the word of God. And fill us up today with living works by the living God, according to the living water of the Holy Spirit, that we might be alive and go forth and do these things. So, Lord, we thank you today. And we rest in you. We wait patiently, the word of patience. We wait patiently for your kingdom to come. Lord, we preach, we pray, we live this out. Jesus, you are all to us. You're the one we follow. So Lord, come now. Give your Holy Spirit to your people that we might pray in your spirit. We might walk in your spirit. I pray today that the word of God, the word of the Spirit went forth to our lives as clear as a trumpet sounds, giving direction. Lord, call those six men. Lord, save the cities of North Dakota. Bring salvation to the Muslims, to the Hindus, to the pagans, to the Catholics. Lord, that this gospel would go forth. Lord, save the dead church of Protestantism. Lord, many claim to know you but deny you. Lord, the sin that abounds, and just call upon you now, Jesus, for your spirit to be poured out upon us that we might go forth in your power like you went forth in power. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.